This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% on select styles. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It is 6:13 now. Lundy Graw, if you're just waking up, on Argus Facebook page, let me try to get this straight now. On Argus Facebook page, they've announced that they canceled the parade tomorrow in Jefferson Parish, and you would presume that would be all of the parades in Jefferson Parish due to weather. Now, Jefferson Parish has not said anything, but I think Cynthia Lee Sheng's supposed to have a press conference at 9 o'clock. Crew of Argus announced, Jefferson Parish has informed us they are canceling all parades on Mardi Gras Day. This decision was made out of an abundance of caution and is based on unsafe weather conditions. There's a threat of high winds with gusts up to 50 miles an hour. We are working hard on finding an alternative and or a date to reschedule the parade. So that's out of, I guess, an abundance of caution and safety. I know years ago, a long time ago, Arthur Hardy can tell us when this happened. I think it was the crew of Carrollton, and this led to people having to have safety harnesses when they rode on floats, was blown off of a float during a storm and went over an overpass and I think lingered in a coma for a long, long time. But we'll have to see what happens in Orleans Parish, because I don't know that there's any big difference in the weather between one or the other, right? So we'll find out and let you know everything you need to know as the morning progresses. Ted Rossman joins us now, Bankrate senior industry analyst, to talk about the first 40 days of President Trump's administration. How you doing, Ted?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Tell me what, first of all, how do you measure people and their pocketbook and the economy and all that? Because there's so many different factors, right?
There are. Economic data continues to be pretty good. I mean, there's some weakening in retail sales, for example. Sentiment has really been lagging. That's been a big theme, really, of the past few years. But we've seen another notable drop recently, and a lot of it seems to have to do with worries about continued higher prices and tariffs potentially making that worse. That definitely has consumers' attention.
So what has happened with, I guess, inflation or the rate of inflation in the first 40 days, anything, or can they measure it in that short of a time period?
Well, even inflation has been a bit of a mixed bag lately. The Consumer Price Index, which came out a couple weeks ago for January, so we're still very early days in the administration. I think Inauguration Day was January 20th. So, you know, early days for this term, but the CPI came in hotter than expected. But then a couple weeks later, the other big inflation gauge, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index, which the Fed actually prefers for a few technical reasons, that one actually came in more positive, you know, a little bit lower. the main point here is that price growth is slowing, but the cumulative effect is significant. And that's another thing that's a little bit of a disconnect between the data that economists look at, which is, okay, inflation's doing better, versus what consumers think, which is, I wish prices would roll back to 2019 levels, right? That's what everybody wants. And unfortunately, it's not really going to happen. I mean, lower inflation just means prices are still growing. They're just growing more slowly. But the fact that they're growing on a base that's 20% higher than it was 3 or 4 years ago, you know, that's stressing household budgets.
What's going on with credit cards and fees? And what did the president say he was going to do? And did anything happen?
A lot of interesting things there. The president talked about a 10% credit card rate cap on the campaign trail, which would be pretty extraordinary. The average credit card right now charges about 20%. Many people are paying 25 or 30, sometimes even more. So to bring that down to a maximum of 10 would sound great for borrowers. The average American has $6,600 in credit card debt. The problem, the unintended consequence really, is if banks were capped at a maximum of 10%, they say it just wouldn't be profitable, and they'd have to cut back on access to credit and rewards, and they'd have to raise other fees. Now, this is still in the proposal stage, but it was introduced in the Senate a few weeks ago by Bernie Sanders and Josh Hawley, and you know that, again, is a really interesting comparison, because we have one of the most liberal senators, one of the most conservative. You know, how often do Sanders and Hawley agree? How often does Sanders and Trump agree? So there's kind of some surprising commonality here. We'll see where it goes. I honestly don't think it'll pass in this form, but it is interesting the conversations are taking place.
It's a popular thing to say, and I understand that, how that would get everybody's, get them all excited and get them happy and so forth, but to actually make it happen is something else, because if the interest rates were to be capped at 10%, nothing's free, right? So somebody's going to have to pay for it on the other end. What would that look like if that were to happen? Where is that going to get pushed?
Right. That's where, if this did happen, banks would probably raise other fees, you know, probably annual fees, late fees, foreign transaction fees, all kinds of fees. And then also access to credit could really be cut back, because especially for consumers that just wouldn't be profitable. Now, the reason why credit cards charge higher rates is it's unsecured debt. It's not like a mortgage where they can take the house if you don't pay, or a car loan where they can repossess the car. Credit card debt, really the big worry is the bank doesn't get paid back. So especially for riskier borrowers, which could be those with lower credit scores or lower incomes, they might see it harder to get a credit card. Rewards would probably dry up for all. So unintended consequences are a big deal with these sort of things. We also see it with the push to limit credit card interchange. Those are the processing fees paid by merchants, and they average about 2.2%, and it's a big funder of rewards. There's been a push for a few years now, led by Senator Durbin, to maybe not explicitly cap these fees, but do some things that would bring them down, like promoting more competition, which, again, sounds good. I mean, everybody likes competition, right? But, again, the unintended consequence is anything that sort of upends the status quo could lead banks to make big changes. So, you know, if Visa and MasterCard get undercut by lower-cost competitors, maybe data security is not as good. Maybe rewards are not as good. Maybe access to credit's not as good. So, you know, these are all things to watch.
It's almost as simple, Ted, correct me if I'm wrong, but, and I started as an accounting major, but it's like it's going to balance out one way or the other, on one side of the sheet or the other, right? If you tinker with it here, something else is going to go over here?
That's right, and tariffs, too. I mean, I know the president thinks that's a valuable negotiating tool for the border and the economy and other things, but as you said, somebody's going to end up holding the bag on any of these things.
Let me pick it up with tariffs when we come back, Ted, if we can. We're talking to Ted Rossman, Bankrate Senior Industry Analyst, about President Trump's first 40 days in office and how it's affected your pocketbook. Prices have not come down. If anything, they've gone up. Eggs, we all know what's going on with that, and chickens. 620 traffic now, WWL. 624 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL. In case you're just waking up, no Mardi Gras in Metairie tomorrow due to high winds. Hasn't been officially announced yet, but numerous sources are citing that, including the crew of Argus. They say they were informed by Jefferson Parish Details coming up in the news in about 5 minutes. Ted Rossman, our guest, Bankrate senior industry analyst, talking about your pocketbook after the first 40 days of President Trump's administration. Ted, somebody texted in and said if bank credit card interest rates weren't so damn high to start with, perhaps the bank would have a better payback rate. And that seems like you're kind of blaming the wrong thing. You shouldn't be using a credit card to finance long-term debt, and that's never what it was about, right? So you can't really blame the credit card companies if you get in over your head, can you?
Yeah, well, that's where I come back to that unintended consequence of what if credit dries up, you know, if it becomes less profitable for banks, because I don't want people paying high credit card rates either. The best way to use a credit card, of course, is to pay in full, but I realize that's easier said than done. Now, half of cardholders do it from month to month. But the real point is that, you know, if you need to pay a medical bill, a car repair, get a refrigerator, whatever it is, if credit is not as much of an option, and then what? You know, then do you turn to payday loans or borrowing from family and friends? Or that's where I just worry about something that upends the market of credit card lending as we know it. Because I know these rates are high, and I'm not necessarily defending that, but I do believe that access to credit is important.
But the rates are high. Let me just jump in here. The rates are high. You can correct me if I say anything wrong, because it's unsecured debt, because people run up credit cards. Then we run commercials for the company that get them out of credit card debt that settles for pennies on a dollar. Well, somebody got to make up that difference, and that's the banks make up that difference in the money they lent with the higher interest rates, which means people get credit with the higher interest rates that otherwise would not get it. So you better watch what you ask for, because if you want lower interest rates, it's going to be harder to get a credit card. Is that accurate?
That's right. Yeah. And that's where I would say, rather than a government cap on credit card rates, what I would rather see is, well, of course, if you can pay it off. But, you know, aside from that, there are other options. There are 0% balance transfer credit cards, promotional offers that last up to 21 months and can be interest-free for almost 2 years, or nonprofit credit counseling that can bring your rate down to 7 or 8% over 4 or 5 years. I would say that taking those steps is better than a hard cap, which could change a lot of things.
And look, I've been through it both sides. I've been through it with a tough divorce where I had no choice but to run up the credit cards and then dig myself out of it. I've also lived way above my head and ran up the credit cards. So when we talk about government spending, maybe it comes to a little bit of personal discipline as well, although I do feel for the people that need to live with the credit cards, because I've been there, done that. Let's talk.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
How about tariffs, Ted?
Yeah, so this is a really big one. Tariffs are scheduled to take place this week on Canada and Mexico. They've been delayed about a month. The China tariffs went into effect already last month. There's talk now of European Union tariffs. Economists believe that this is going to lead to higher prices, just because, you know, if costs get kicked up somewhere in the supply chain, the consumer is going to end up bearing much of that. Now, the administration says it's a useful negotiating tactic. They point out that there were tariffs during the first term and inflation was actually pretty low. A couple things that are different this time around, though. The tariffs that are scheduled to take place are deeper and wider. You know, there's more of them, the rates are higher, they affect more things, And inflation is starting from a higher base. And I know that's something that they inherited from the previous administration, but inflation's not yet down to the previous or to the Fed's target. It's not down to 2% yet. There's been a lot of cumulative price gains the past few years. People are very sensitive to this. Now, during the first term, we were still in that sort of glory days of inflation hadn't really been a big deal since the 80s, but it's been a big deal the past few years. And I just know consumers are wary of anything that could lead to higher prices. And that's one of the big reasons why consumer sentiment has remained depressed.
They think, for people that think the country is going to pay the tariff, explain that, if you will, please.
It's something that gets placed on the merchant, like on the supplier during the buying process. And chances are very high that that's eventually going to get passed on to the consumer.
Ideally, in an ideal market, and this is philosophically speaking, well, then they would figure, you know what, if the tariff is so high, let's just build it here. The problem is it's going to cost a hell of a lot more to build it here than it is there. And I'm just calling widgets, whatever you want to pick something, whatever it is, because of the price of labor, because of subsidized labor in other countries, et cetera. So either way, whether it's tariffed or whether it's built here, it's going to be more. And you have a choice in some cases to buy here if you want to pay more, but people don't choose that, do they?
That's right. I mean, there's part of this that's Buy American. I feel like that was more a talking point the first time around, though. I feel like this time it's more about the border and, you know, sort of other things, you know, relating to more of a geopolitical sort of negotiation about, like, we're going to do this if you don't do that. So it doesn't seem like it's as much of a manufacturing talking point this time around as it is immigration and fentanyl and other things crossing the border.
Thank you, Ted. Appreciate it. Ted Rossman, Bankrate Senior Industry Analyst. We'll talk to Arthur Hardy when we come back, 6:30 time for WWL First News. 6:47, 13 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Arthur Hardy joins us now, founder of the Mardi Gras Guide. Hey, Arthur, how you?
Good morning, Tommy. How you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm shocked to see what's going on in Jefferson Parish. I had no idea that it was going to be so windy as to cancel the activities in Jefferson Parish. That's not come officially from the parish, to be clear, but it came from the crew of Argus Facebook post that attributed it to Jefferson Parish, and they're going to have a press conference at 9 o'clock, as I understand it. President Cynthia Lee Shang is. Is that what you're hearing as well, Arthur, about Mardi Gras and Metairie?
Exactly, and they seem to have pulled the plug pretty early, but the forecast is rather ominous. I've not heard anything Zulu, Brex, or the truck parades that follow on Fat Tuesday uptown. But you have to say it doesn't look good. You know, there's only been one weather cancellation in Brex in its history since 1872, and that was because of rain in 1933. And you could parade in the rain, but they chose not to that year. But wind is much more, obviously, more dangerous than rain. And we did have some, as I recall, Wednesday night parades, but maybe Thursday night parades about 4 years ago canceled because of predicted high winds. So there's a precedent to this. Not quite sure what the threshold is, but to be clear, it doesn't matter what the captain says, we're going to parade. No, you're not if NLPD says there'll be no parades. And I'm sure it's the same thing as Jefferson. The captain can cancel his parade. He can't say we're going to hell or high water, right?
Yeah. It would seem as though Jefferson Parish saying in a preemptive measure kind of makes it harder, I'm just talking about politically now, for Orleans to go forward, because then if anything happens, it's like, well, you understand where what I'm saying here?
Where, cause oh, Jefferson, absolutely. There are liabilities here, of course. So, but man, how sad would that be to get washed out?
A wind out, a blowout. I've never heard of wind canceling Mardi Gras at all.
I mean, I guarantee it's never happened. Makes all the more emphasis on tonight, getting out to see these wonderful parades. And talking about Metairie, you know, you've got a double header tonight. 43 floats, 20 bands combined. There's a real reason to come out and enjoy what might be the last stage of Mardi Gras Metairie tonight, the Centurions and Kings. And of course, Uptown, for my money, the best double header in Mardi Gras. You got Proteus with the quotes from the 1880s, and then Orpheus with all kind of high-tech things, lighting and gorgeous floats, and that may be the last Mardi Gras. I hope not, but we know nothing official about Zulu. Somebody called me and said, you know, if Zulu starts at 8, maybe they could parade half of their route and have buses ready to get all the riders back. Well, I don't know. That's a thought, but the logistics of that, and again, the liabilities, I don't. Yeah. All we're doing is speculating at this point, John.
I don't see that as a public official. I don't see that happening at all, where you would say, okay, you can parade until the winds get to a certain threshold, then we're going to pull everybody off the float like you're talking about, Arthur. The logistics would be crazy.
I agree with you. That was just a suggestion somebody emailed to me. Somebody just, I think, desperately hoping, let's get something in, you know. I agree with you. Yeah, go ahead.
We always talk about makeup dates for parades, but as you say that about enjoying tonight, there's no way Argus could roll tonight, huh?
No. I mean, I don't think so.
Yeah, because I'm thinking maybe get it in before the weather, but that'd be a lot, 3 in 1 night. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back, 6:51, talking to Arthur Hardy. 9 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 6:56 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Arthur Hardy, our guest, founder of the Mardi Gras Guide. Arthur, I always tell people that are younger than me, one thing I can tell you about life, it's never what you expect. And I got to tell you, when you knew the Mardi Gras was going to be on March 4th, you thought maybe it's warm, maybe it's going to be nice. Wind, I did not see. I didn't even think that at all. I didn't. Next year, it's on. Go ahead.
February 17th next year.
Yeah, next year.
You know,
so.
You were talking about could Argus roll at night. I don't know if they're supposed to have lights on.
Yeah, I didn't even think
that's
about
a consideration. That. Consideration too. You know, and this is a long time ago. Of course, 1899, the Proteus Parade, which rolled tonight, was postponed because of cold weather. I mean, like in the teens, it's snow on the ground. So they decided to parade next Friday in Lent, and it was an unmitigated disaster. Nobody showed up. So we have had postponements before, but not successful.
I don't see. Tell me about that with Argus. For the poor people that paid their money and so many people that go to Mardi Gras in Metairie, there's no way that they're going to do Argus at a different point, are they? Or could they, do you think?
Well, we'll find out at 9 o'clock. You know, yeah. We have had parades within the last 10 years or so, maybe 15. I'm on the causeway right now, so I don't have my notes anywhere. Mm-hmm. I believe Allop was rescheduled, near St. Patrick's Day or something. You know, that's a possibility. Maybe next Sunday or I don't know.
Didn't we?
But the logistics of that are incredible. So we'll find out at 9 o'clock.
We're trying to remember COVID. The year after COVID, did they not have Mardi Gras? Not the year after COVID, but there was the Mardi Gras super spreader event, and then the next year.
I'm going to remember. I think 21 was the year there were no parades. We did the house floats in Park, close in the Oaks in City Park. That Bob DeVinny, the co-captain of Argus, by the way, organized that wonderful event. But I'm just at a loss for words, Tommy. You know, but what do you blame? I mean, weather, and safety has to be first.
Yeah, well, you know, it's why don't we do it? Let's do it. Till somebody, what was the parade, Arthur, years ago? This had to be in the 70s at Carrollton or something. Somebody fell off a float on an overpass. What was that?
1971, Pete Latino fell off a float on what was then the Jeff Davis overpass. A mini tornado actually struck that parade. And
was it Carrollton or Mid-City? What was the parade?
Yeah, no, it was Carrollton. He eventually died,
All right, Arthur, man. Look, a pleasure talking to you, and thank you for everything, and we'll talk to you again. Let's just hope something breaks somehow in a good way, you know?
I'm with you, buddy.
Do you have any idea timeline when Orleans Parish from your Rex friends, when they would find out?
I think we're going to hear something before noon, but again, I don't know.
And that's the city that makes the call to be clear, not the captain of the parade, correct?
Well, it is, although the captain can pull the plug himself. The city can't make him parade, but he can stop it.
But he can't parade if the city doesn't say it's okay.
Right, and he can cancel the parade without the city approval.
Thank you.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.